today's topic, Baptized by Water and the Spirit, with host Pastor Bill Tucker.
Today we're focusing on another fascinating topic. I hope that you're enjoying every one of these topics that we've been studying, finding new truths, walking in new light. Now, if this is your first topic, you'll want to tune in to some of the previous videos that are available. And you'll want to secure this book, Search for True Seminar Study Guides, because we refer to the studies in this book. Today we want to study about this important topic of baptism. Baptism by water and baptism by the Spirit. You know, Jesus talked about this. In John chapter 3, verse 5, we read the words of Jesus, and I would encourage you to open your Bible to the same. As we link these verses together, we have several to cover on this important topic. John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, friends, in this statement, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, who had come to him by night. He referred to water baptism and to renewing of the heart by the Spirit of God. Baptism by water and by the Spirit is far more than just going through the motions or form. It has to do with the heart. The fountain of the heart must be purified before the streams can become pure. He who's trying to reach heaven by his own works, keeping the law, is attempting an absolute impossibility. You see, the true Christian life is not a makeover of the old life, but it's a transformation of nature. There is a death to self, death to sin, and a new life altogether. This change can be brought about only by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit in a yielded life. I'd like to have us underline some of these important Bible truths as we move forward in this subject of baptism. You know, people ask me so often, who should be baptized? And how old should a person be? Should we baptize babies? Or children? What about people on their deathbed? Should they be baptized? Should a person ever be baptized a second time? Now, these are important questions, aren't they? And for those answers, we need to go to the Bible. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Now, in giving the gospel commission, Christ said, go, teach, baptize. As the Holy Spirit brings conviction to a man's heart, he repents of his sins. He longs to be pure. He will then want to be baptized as Jesus was. Now, of course, Jesus didn't receive baptism as just a confession of his guilt, no. But notice how Jesus was baptized. For that, let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And verse 13. And there it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." To be baptized of John. But notice what John said. He said, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer," or that means allow it to be so now, "for thus it cometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered, or he allowed him. As we read on in the story, we find out that Jesus was saying, "John, no, I'm not going to baptize you. I need to be baptized because it's going to fulfill righteousness. Because it's a part of right living, right doing." And then Jesus gave us an example of baptism there in verse 16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, Jesus did not receive baptism, remember, as a confession of his guilt, but as our example. He was baptized to set a pattern for every sinner saved by grace. John was baptizing where? The Bible says he was baptizing in the Jordan River because there was much water, a lot of water there. Now, both Jesus and John went down into the water. He was placed under the water, and he came up out of the water. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came down from heaven, resting upon him as a dove. Just as the Heavenly Father was pleased with the baptism of his Son, so I believe our Heavenly Father is pleased every time we become baptized in the same manner as Jesus was baptized. Now, the question comes, who should be baptized? I want to know who should be baptized, people say. Well, it makes it very plain. Jesus said it himself over here in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And Jesus said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Faith, then, is essential. We must believe the gospel. We must believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. I like the way Dr. Graham Maxwell explains faith. He says, faith is a word we use to describe a relationship with God as with a person well known. The better we know him, the better this relationship may be. Faith then implies an attitude toward God. Yes, an attitude of love, an attitude of trust, an attitude of deepest admiration. It means having enough confidence in him based on more than adequate evidence revealed to be willing to believe whatever he says, to accept whatever he offers, and to do whatever he wishes without reservation for the rest of eternity. Anyone who has this kind of faith is perfectly safe to save. That's in that wonderful book that Dr. Maxwell has written entitled, Can God Be Trusted? Page 46. Therefore, my friend, a person must be old enough to enter into that kind of transaction. The Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost answered another very important question. He was preaching the gospel to these thousands of people that were hanging on every word that he was speaking. And finally they cried out, Sir, what must we do? We're convicted. What shall we do? Well, this was the response of Peter in Acts chapter 2. And verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right. What are we supposed to do then? It says we're to repent, to be baptized. In other words, when a person begins to see his own life revealed against the background of the spotless life of Christ, he begins to abhor himself as he really is, and he longs to be pure. That conviction of the Holy Spirit brings repentance, a genuine sorrow for sin, a turning from sin. Oh, and a longing comes into the heart for divine association. There is a mystical union that takes place between the believer and his Lord that becomes real by the Holy Spirit. And then baptism signifies this union with the divine. On the day of Pentecost, those who heard Peter's message were able to enter the union with Christ, and they were baptized. So a person should gladly move forward with baptism after they've received the gospel and have accepted it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, just a few verses further, we read these words. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, I can just imagine what that must have been like. You see, just a few years ago, I experienced personally the baptism of over 3,000 people in one place, in one day. Yes, it must have been a thrilling thing on the day of Pentecost, because it's an experience I'll never forget. But you say, Pastor Tucker, when I was baptized, I didn't go down under the water, I was just sprinkled. What is the real Bible method of baptism? You describe Jesus going down into the water, and that's kind of a new idea to me. Does the Bible really uphold that way of baptizing? Well, let's go to another experience, another example of Bible baptism. And it's found over here in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You see, a man by the name of Philip, one of the good deacons, was in the city of Samaria holding an evangelistic crusade. And the Holy Spirit one day said to him, go down into the desert. And so he quickly ran down to the desert. When he got there, the Holy Spirit said to him, join yourself to that man and that chariot over there. So he ran and he joined himself to the man in the chariot. He was an Ethiopian. And we read these words here in verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And so it was that Philip got into the chariot and began to share with him many different things. And in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And then it says, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then it says that he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So Philip and the Ethiopian, they went down into the water, the Bible says. The eunuch was baptized by immersion, just like Jesus was. Someone may be saying, well, Pastor Tucker, what's the real purpose of baptism? What's it all about anyway? I see you going down, getting wet, and all that, but what is the real reason for it? It must have some spiritual meaning. We get the answer to that question over here in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That's pretty plain. As the crucified body of our Lord was buried in the tomb, so in the rite of immersion, the believer is buried in that watery grave. As the Holy Spirit resurrected Jesus and brought him up out of the sepulcher, so the believer is raised up from the water to walk in the newness of life by the Spirit of God. By the act of baptism, then, the repentant sinner publicly is testifying that he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart. That is, this faith has led him to repent of his sins and that he is determined by God's grace to serve him from that day forward. You know, the English verb to baptize actually is not an English word. It comes from a Greek word, and that word is baptizomai, which literally means to plunge under or submerge. That's what it really means. To immerse, to dip. The Apostle Paul's words are very accurate. We're buried with him by baptism. The practice of sprinkling infants and calling it baptism certainly is not in keeping with the real meaning of baptism, is it? Nor is the method taught in the Holy Scriptures. Bible baptism can only be by immersion, for it symbolizes the spiritual death, the burying of the old life of sin, and then a beginning of a new life in Christ. There's a story of Henry and his father. They were discussing this matter of baptism. One was sprinkled at an early age, and Henry had just been at a church where the Bible baptism method was used, baptism by immersion, going under, and they were arguing back and forth. The father was saying, well, it doesn't make any difference whether you're sprinkled or whether you're pushed under the water. Baptism is baptism. And Henry said, no, how can that be? And so finally, father try and get Henry off of his back and change the subject. He said, well, Henry, you know, the old Plymouth Rock rooster, it died. And you need to go and bury it. It's back behind the barn. Well, Henry was only there just a few moments and came back from around the barn. And his father said, you didn't bury that rooster in that short a time. Henry had a twinkle in his eyes. His dad says, I got to go see this. He went back to where Henry had supposedly buried the rooster, and all there was just a few grains of sand sprinkled on top of the rooster. And he looked to his dad and he says, remember, Dad, you said it didn't matter how you were buried, whether you were sprinkled or whether you were put under. His dad got the message. People say, well, should a person ever be immersed more than once? That's a good question. And in Acts chapter 19... I believe, gives us some insights into that. And beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here is an example where a group of believers in Ephesus that were already followers of the Lord Jesus, they had been baptized. They had not heard, however, the full gospel as Paul was there to share. They were unaware of the glorious truth concerning the Holy Spirit and possibly other truths. The Apostle Paul instructed them and presented the full message for that time. And when they heard this, they accepted it. They were again baptized by water, and Paul laid his hands upon them, and it says in the next verse that they received the Holy Ghost. So, my friends, today, though people may have heard a part of the gospel and have been baptized by water, when they hear the full message for these last days, the three angels' messages that we have studied in one of our studies previously, perhaps other different topics that are beginning to get clear in your mind. Perhaps you've come to realize what happens when a person dies. These truths that perhaps you did not know or understand before. Then, I believe you'll want to be baptized again by immersion. And at the same time, it would be well for a pastor to lay his hands upon you, to pray that you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, friend, I want to make it clear that baptism should not be delayed. Over there in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul didn't encourage those who were to be baptized to wait for many days or months before the rite was administered. When the people accepted the message, the Bible says that they were baptized immediately. When the eunuch out there in the desert heard Philip explain the message, and he surrendered his whole heart and by faith accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the evangelist Philip immediately baptized him in that water that was close by. Notice the expression that we find here in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 has an expression and it says, Paul and Silas, they came into town, they put out their handbills possibly, but something goes wrong. The next thing we read that they're in prison, locked up. Inside this prison, though, they're not talking against the city government or officials, no. Paul and Silas, as prisoners, are doing something else. They're sharing their faith. That's right. They're singing. Pretty soon at midnight, as the singing continues, and Silas is perhaps joining in, and they are singing a duet, suddenly the earth quakes. The walls of the prison are shaken down. The jailer himself is just about to fall upon his sword because he's afraid that all of his prisoners are getting loose. In verse 28 of Acts 16, this is what it says. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then it goes on to say, He called for a light, and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And verse 33, He took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, meaning his family, straightway. Quite an experience. Although beaten, cast into prison, Paul and Silas ministered to the prisoners. They prayed, they sang praises to God. Their witness was so positive that though there was an earthquake that was severe enough to break the chains and break down the walls, all of the prisoners chose to stay right there with Paul and Silas. No doubt, the jailer had also been listening to the ringing testimonies of truth for those two great witnesses of Paul and Silas. When he cried out, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What did the evangelist say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. What was the response? Well, here was a chance of a lifetime. Did Paul and Silas say, Now, you've got to go and study 24 Bible lessons. And you've got to study this and that. And after you've studied all that, I'll come back 6 months from now and we'll arrange for a baptism. Is that what Paul said? No. The Bible says the very same night, after he explained a little bit of the Word, it says that he baptized him. He and all of his were baptized that same night. But Pastor Tucker, it's a very serious thing to be baptized. A very serious thing. Yes, my friend, it is. It is indeed serious. And some people say, well, because it's so serious, I better wait maybe a year. I don't feel like I'm ready. Oh, friend, notice the words of the Apostle Paul under inspiration. Chapter 22 and verse 16. It says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The question, why tarriest thou? It's important, if you've not been baptized, my friend, for you to consider that decision. Some of you perhaps have wondered when I should be baptized. I believe that if you understand what it means to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, when you recognize in your heart that you've given all of your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His grace you're determined to live for Him daily, I believe that you're ready to signify publicly your stand for Christ in being baptized, and to do it as soon as possible. Yes, it is a solemn thing to be baptized, but it's a great deal more solemn to refuse baptism. You might ask, will there be people in heaven who have never been baptized? Oh, yes. But they'll be there, my friend, because they did not understand, or they did not have an opportunity to be baptized. One clear example of that is the thief on the cross. He did not have an opportunity. Otherwise, I'm sure that he would have been baptized. And there have been many others. I believe that there will not be one soul in heaven who could have been baptized, who understood God's will on this subject, who refused baptism. I believe that only those who have followed Jesus, or followed in the best light that they had, will be there. The words of Jesus are clear. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so I ask you, my friend, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Friend, I wish you'd make that decision now as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Will you do it? Let the words of Revelation 22, verse 17, settle into your mind. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This scripture, my friends, makes it very plain that the Holy Spirit is calling you. The church, the bride, is calling you. The believers, those who have already accepted Christ, they're calling you. The invitation is for all. All who are thirsty. All who would be filled with the Spirit. And to drink of His truths. Let all take of the water of life freely. As the Heavenly Father witness your baptism and you're uniting with the remnant church, He will say, as He said of His Son, "I am well pleased." Just now, my friends, would you come to Him just as you are and receive the blessing that He has for you? Let us pray. Father in heaven, You know each heart. Those who have experienced baptism as a baby, or those who have never been baptized, may each one make that important decision that they'll want to consider being baptized anew, the Bible way, the Jesus way. Oh, Father, bless everyone who makes that decision today. Thank You for that blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you.